So good afternoon. I'm Lauren Crenshaw, CFO of Avalon Advanced Materials, and I appreciate the interest of those physically here at the conference and those listening online. I would say up front that if you have questions online, go ahead and type those into the questions feature of the platform, and a moderator here will ask those questions towards the end when I open it up for questions. So Avalon is a Canadian critical minerals company focused on restoring North American critical minerals control across rare earths and lithium. I have three core messages today. One is Avalon owns a differentiated portfolio of critical minerals assets at a time when governments, industry, and capital markets are increasingly focused on secure, domestic, and allied supply chains. Two, these assets are trading at a fraction of their intrinsic value, in our view. Three, Avalon has assembled a management team that's 90% new over the last 12 months and committed to executing a strategy that we expect to begin to close the gap between the current market cap of our company and the intrinsic value of our assets. Our two principal platforms include the Basal Zone of the Neftchalotl deposit, our rare earths and zirconium deposit that's in the Northwest Territories, and Lake Superior Lithium, which is our proposed lithium hydroxide processing facility in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Avalon is a holding company, essentially. That's the way you should view it, with a leadership team that's focused on transforming this company from a long-standing exploration story to a fully scaled critical minerals platform. Now, before I go further, I want to just bring your attention to this slide. Today's discussion includes forward-looking information, and I encourage investors to carefully review the statements and precautions detailed on this slide and within the presentation that's posted on our website. Also, the technical information in the presentation that I'll speak to has been reviewed by appropriate qualified persons. I now want to turn, before talking about our assets, to an announcement we made last Friday that we are exploring potential U.S. capital markets alternatives, including a possible future listing on the NASDAQ, which would represent a dual listing alongside our existing TSX listing. In connection with that exploration, we've scheduled an upcoming June 29th special shareholders meeting at which we are asking investors to vote in favor of the proposed share consolidation. No final decision has been made. There's no assurance that we will pursue or complete a U.S. listing, and any such step would be subject to market conditions, regulatory and exchange approvals, and satisfaction of listing requirements. The share consolidation we are proposing does not by itself create any value. It doesn't change the company's market cap or shareholders' proportionate interests. What would happen at the midpoint of the reverse stock split is that a stock that today is trading at roughly, in this example, say 6.5 cents, would trade closer to $10, and a shareholder who had 15,500 shares would have 100 shares. That's the way a 155-to-1 split would work. Our board and management team believe that this share consolidation makes sense for several reasons. One, broadening investor access. I started my career as a buy-side equity analyst at Smith Barney. One of the first things you do is screen the universe for stocks. Even if a company has fantastic assets, but it's trading at less than a dollar, there are funds who cannot engage with the stock. And so it does not create value, but it does have the potential to broaden investor access, improve marketability, and finally, it represents strategic alignment. Avalon's portfolio is North American in scope. And as the world grapples with the challenge of reshoring critical minerals to allied jurisdictions, and as we position Neftchalotl as a feedstock source of rare earth for the G7, and engage with potential sources of funding and partners in America, we believe that the company's public profile should evolve for this next stage of development. And so for these reasons, our board is asking shareholders to vote in favor of the share consolidation. So in terms of assets, Avalon is not simply a single asset exploration company. we're well beyond the exploration phase. We're building a platform around two themes that matter deeply to North America: rare earths and lithium processing. And that processing point matters because the world doesn't just need more mines to come on. The world needs more processing capacity, and both of our rare earth and lithium assets would be processing assets. And that's what's important for supply chains to function outside of China, and both of our assets contribute to that strategic imperative. So we're executing against the backdrop of a geopolitical environment where rare earths are dominated by China. And in fact, we were publicly listed on the New York Stock Exchange, trading at almost a $1 billion market cap, the last time China executed the playbook that they execute so well, which is swamping the market in a non-economic way, and in a way that, in our case, resulted in what was an asset with a feasibility study and that was on its path to being fully funded, diminishing in terms of market cap because investors were concerned that China would keep prices at levels that prevented good assets from coming on. The good news is that the geopolitical dynamics have shifted dramatically, and now the world is kind of woken up to the fact that although I think most capitalists don't like industrial policy, if you want to get out of a position where 95% of your rare earths and critical minerals are processed by, let's say, a non-allied, potentially confrontational country, you've got to lean in, and we think we're very well positioned to benefit from that dynamic, because without it, the end markets that are essential to our economy and our future, EVs, defense, automation, power infrastructure, digital infrastructure, are all quite vulnerable. So our headquarters is in Toronto. As you can see here, our Lake Superior lithium asset is in Thunder Bay. Nechelacho is in Northwest Territories. We also have some less core assets, cesium, tin, that are in other parts of the world. But that Canadian footprint matters because Canada is a trusted jurisdiction, and it's aligned with the United States and other G7 partners in this endeavor to reshore critical minerals, and we think that we're very well positioned amidst that dynamic. So from a portfolio view, again, Nechelacho has a 2013 feasibility study which demonstrated the viability of this project. It's being refreshed right now. That's the most important thing from an investor perspective. And we expect this fall that we will publish a PEA for the first time in 13 years. We'll refresh the economics. What's under the earth changes glacially. So this remains a fine asset for which we spent $100 million on a fine feasibility study. We're refreshing the process. On lithium, we have a more recent 2024 PEA that we're advancing to a feasibility study. Between these two assets, the NPVs are roughly $4 billion, and we're trading at some fraction of that. The third bucket on strategic partnerships and divestment also goes to management mindset. Scott Monteith has been a successful serial entrepreneur and industrialist. We are no longer led by geologists. I like to say we're led by capitalists. We're not in the exploration phase anymore. We're in the execution phase and in the scale-up phase. And that's what makes this opportunity different. And as a result, we will be divesting as best we can these non-core assets. It's not that they're not attractive assets, but we're not going to hold on and admire them the way many geologists and other companies do. And so the demand outlook for the two minerals that we're focused on is just fantastic. And this chart indicates that we are, through our assets, positioning ourselves to support electric transportation, energy storage, robotics, drones, defense technology, freight electrification, digital infrastructure, and every advanced industrial economy is trying to secure raw materials to fuel and secure this sort of process. this sort of progress. And we're right at the intersection of those key themes. So from an investment perspective, we've got strong demand tailwinds from a secular point of view on rare earth and lithium, multiple value creation levers, a fine portfolio with feasibility studies that are being refreshed, a valuation disconnect, and strong partnerships. We've got partnerships with Nordman and Primero and Wood on engineering, Metso, Qualcomm with regard to our lithium project, and we are aligned with governments around the world who are increasingly focused on reshoring critical minerals. So turning to Nechelacho is one of the most technically advanced and richest as measured by magnet rare earths of the rare earth projects in North America. It's located near Thor Lake, roughly 100 kilometers southeast of Yellowknife Northwest Territories. And the Basel Zone is important because it contains both light and heavy rare earths. And so these are the rare earths that are essential. Of the 17 rare earths, there's four that drive 90% of the demand and the revenue. And this asset has both of those. And it also has tantalum, zirconium, as well as niobium. And so it's a fine asset. This is the slide that I like because it's fact-based. And what it shows, almost like an interest rate to a non-mining person, of the four rare earths that drive 90% of demand, what percentage per ton does your asset, and we're Nechelacho Basel Zone, yield? What this says is 25%. That's a phenomenal richness and intensity in terms of the four rare earths that matter. One. Two, the yellow circle says, how far are you along? So what this says is that you've got a technically advanced asset at the feasibility study that's also very rich. And so if you're a politician and your job is to secure critical minerals supply chains, you would start on the left side of this chart and say the most viable projects need to come online. And that would be the efficient way to do it, and the ones that are technically advanced. And so that's why we believe that we'll be successful. It's not just, there's a lot of noise in the atmosphere right now, but the facts kind of speak for themselves. We introduced this slide last Friday because, frankly, it's challenging to look at rare earth developers. We don't compare ourselves today to MP Materials or necessarily even USA Rare Earths. These are companies who are pre-revenue, in development around the world at various stages. And what you see on this chart is that we're trading at a $39 million market cap. And on average, our peers are trading at, we're at 10% of our peers. If you look at the development phase, we've got a DFS and very few. Now, it is dated. It will be updated this fall. But again, what's under the earth changes glacially. We're updating the processing. Many of these some of them don't even have an MRE, but in any case, we are advanced stage, and despite having very strong magnet critical intensity, 25%, and on a contained basis, I like to say, if you look at this like an interest rate, you multiply it times the underlying resource, this tells you numerically how much of these minerals do you have. We compare quite favorably, but we're trading at 1% of our study NPV. And so our job is to close that gap. We think the facts are on our side just from a Mother Nature point of view, and we wake up in the morning thinking about how do we close this gap, and that's what our intention is. These are slides that just show those numbers, frankly, in a way that's easier to the eyes. And this shows, including lithium, we've got $4 billion market NPV, okay? Excluding lithium, about 1.19. But overall, no matter how you cut it, we feel we're undervalued. Now, you may say, well, this is a holding company. You're not going to own 100% of these assets. I think that's fair. And so I'm going to cut that NPV by some percentage because you're going to bring in partners, which we will, we intend to do. But any way you slice it, we feel that there's a disconnect. And I always say the market's right until it's not. And our job is to execute so that that what we call dollar trading for 10 cents no longer persists. And so that's our challenge. This shows our market cap to the study NPV ratio, just in a different way. So beyond the mine, there is the processing. And this is essential because what you should know is that we are evaluating a cleaner processing approach. Working with Engina Corporation, we have developed a CO2-based extraction process. The preliminary bench scale testing has shown recovery of 15 of the rare earth elements with a 90% total recovery, and that's very encouraging. There's more technical work to be done. This may ultimately be the centerpiece of the PEA that we publish. When you say, why are you going backwards to do a PEA? It is to get the process right for today's environment. And so when we publish that PEA, you will see what is the beating heart, you know, of our processing process. But we are optimistic that the supercritical refining process would result in lower CapEx, lower OpEx, and a better environmental profile that all has to be sort of proven out. So on Lake Superior Lithium, this is the proposed chemical processing facility. It is not a mine. We would take spodumene, develop spodumene partnerships, and we would convert that spodumene concentrate into battery-grade lithium hydroxide. Canada happens to be the home of a tremendous amount of spodumene resources. I like to say what Houston is to oil refining, Thunder Bay should be to spodumene refining. It's just naturally where there's a lot of spodumene. Canada has in the past often mined but not processed. And so we see this as a hub, a processing hub, which according to the 2024 PEA would have very good returns. And so it's strategically positioned, good access to infrastructure, an old Abitibi paper mill site. So this is the brownfield site. We're also working with Metso, which is the same company that is at the heart of Tesla's lithium refinery that is coming online now. That is the technology that we would use for this asset. And we think that it'll have a cleaner footprint, lower inputs, and more sustainability attributes or what have you. So the next step is to move this from a PEA to a feasibility study. We expect that to be done by, say, the first quarter of next year. Secure feedstock sources, secure offtake agreements, and strategic funding and partnership structures. So as I come to a close here, there's a lot that has been done just in the past 12 months. 90% of the leadership is new year over year. A good portion of our board of directors is also new, and you should expect that to continue to evolve. We did a tactical funding. I distinguish between tactical funding and strategic. Tactical funding in October, that's fueling these feasibility studies. We're advancing those technical studies. But what have we not done that we think will drive value? Everything in the blue here. We are in discussions both with private sector partners and public entities around capital and around partnerships. We've appointed SCP Resource, the old Sprott, investment bank, to help us with partnership mapping. We've got to enable lithium with feedstock and offtake agreements. All these fundamentals are important, but if the stock's at 6.5 cents, almost like a politician, there are voters who just can't vote for you. And that's where the share consolidation comes into play. And so we're also pursuing non-core asset sales. And so our path, we think, is clearly defined, and it's up to us to execute. And again, but Scott on this page is the only executive who was here a year ago. And these are the people who are going to get it done. And so I'm encouraged by what we've been able to accomplish and by the board and advice that we get from them, which will continue to be enhanced. And we think that we are de-risking this company. We've eliminated the debt. We eliminated the equity-linked instrument that was on the balance sheet, gotten rid of that, and are just clearing up the portfolio, focusing it on what we think are fantastic resources and two great dynamics around lithium and rare earth. And so with that said, happy to take questions. I indicated earlier that if you're online, feel free to send questions through the feature online. But then if you're in the room, happy to take those questions as well. Sure. Sure. The question is, which of the resources might be in a position to drive cash flow more in the near term? You know, we get that question a lot. Sometimes people say, which one are you focused on? Boy, both of these, if we had a final investment decision for both of these at this moment, I think they both could be at the point of first lithium hydroxide or first rare earth oxide. Both within 2 to 3 years. With that said, I think rare earth, if I'm honest, is even more, I would say, defense adjacent. When we are in conversations in D.C., in Ottawa, I would say given the 95% Chinese component, compared to lithium, where it's extreme but not that extreme, I would say that's probably a little more top of mind. But we're focused on both, and we'll see which one falls first. Believe me, every day we're in discussions and advancing both of them. I don't really care which one comes first. We think both are fantastic assets, and we're pursuing both. The way it falls will be just the way the dominoes fall, but we're focused on both of them. Thank you for the question. Other questions? And to the moderator, I don't know if any have come in online. Okay. Well, we appreciate your interest in Avalon online and in the room, and look forward to updating you in the coming quarters. Take care.